Welcome back. On Sunday, thousands of protesters spurred on by different environmental groups are expected to lock arms outside the White House and try to influence President Obama as he decides whether to allow a 1,700-mile proposed oil pipeline project to go forward. It's called Keystone XL. It would carry oil from Alberta, Canada, down through Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, to the Texas Gulf Coast. Here's what President Obama told KETV in Nebraska this week.
We need to encourage domestic natural gas and oil production. We need to make sure that we have energy security and aren't just relying on Middle East sources. But there's a way of doing that and still making sure that the health and safety of the American people and folks in Nebraska are protected. And that's how I'll be measuring these recommendations when they come to me.
The line would also go through Kansas, Oklahoma, and there are strange bedfellows on both sides of the fight. Conservative farmers and ranchers, the Sierra Club, and Tea Party activists have joined environmentalists like Bill McKibben in opposing the pipeline. The Republican governor of Nebraska wants it rerouted away from water sources. And then there's the oil lobbyists, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and normally left-leaning unions that want the pipeline. They say it'll provide 20,000 jobs. Well, Juliet Alprin is environmental reporter for The Washington Post, and she's here to remind us what this is all about. Juliet, welcome.
Thanks so much.
And let's start with that opposition. Bill McKibben enlisted NASA scientist James Hansen, who said extracting this oil in the Canadian sands would essentially mean game over for trying to avert a climate disaster. I mean, that's what spurred Bill McKibben on. So start there. Why are opponents against even the method of extraction of this oil?
The reason that this has attracted so much controversy is because it takes place in a region known by the name of either oil sands or tar sands, depending on what you think of the activity. But basically, it's a very carbon-intensive, energy-intensive way of getting this oil, this crude, out of the ground in Alberta. And so as a result, while obviously all petroleum creates greenhouse gas emissions, this particular form of oil has a much higher greenhouse gas intensity. And so as a result, climate activists have really latched on this as both you're capitalizing on the fact that you're dealing with an energy-intensive form of oil, but also that it's locking the United States into a long-term relationship with oil dependency. And so for those reasons, they've really galvanized their troops and have been trying to block it.
Well, this idea that this is even a dirtier process than regular drilling for oil, environmentalists say that this kind of, you know, sands oil process is like strip mining. You know, it's that much dirtier than drilling for oil.
Exactly. It's complicated. You're basically taking bitumen out of kind of a mixture of sand and water and so forth and extracting it, and it's buried underneath the ground. And so both it has historically involved the clearing of forests, although it takes less forest to clear than in the past. And really, it then takes more processing in order to produce the kind of crude that we would then convert into gasoline or diesel. So as a result, while the estimates range, you're talking about something that over its life cycle is somewhere between 17 and 30% higher in terms of greenhouse gas emissions than other forms of oil.
Right. And then, of course, the pipeline has to travel through the U.S. to the Gulf. Now, we heard President Obama attempting to reassure residents of Nebraska that it would only be done, the green light would be given only if it could be done safely. But they're probably remembering the ExxonMobil pipeline spill this past summer in Montana, 42,000 gallons of crude in the Yellowstone River. We know there are concerns about the Ogallala Aquifer. The Republican governor of Nebraska, you know, he's upset and he wants to move the path of the pipeline. The Canadian officials aren't responding to that. So a lot of people are concerned about how it travels through the country.
Absolutely. That's kind of the second point of concern, that essentially that this is going through sensitive areas, particularly the Ogallala Aquifer, because that's such a critical source of drinking water for Nebraska and some other areas. And so that's where you see kind of the opposition on the ground in the Great Plains states and then moving down as far as Texas, where some people are also concerned. So those are the two kind of components of the environmental opposition to this permit.
So what are Keystone's proponents saying?
What they're saying is that this is going to be a modern pipeline that's going to be less prone to spills than previous pipelines, although it's pretty hard to gauge that since it hasn't been constructed yet, and that this is going to create, at least in the short term, several thousand construction jobs. And so that and the economic activity that would stem from, for example, spending roughly $7 billion on this pipeline project would be a stimulus of itself to the American economy. And that, coupled with the fact that you're going to have an oil coming in from an ally, Canada, as opposed to a potentially hostile nation, is an asset. And that's why it would be in the interest of the United States to grant the permit.
Well, and some people along the way will make money because the company has to buy up land to do the pipeline, although we understand that they have already threatened people along the route who don't want to sell their land, that if you don't sell it, it will be condemned and we'll take it by eminent domain. Can they do that? Can a foreign-based company just seize land like that?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that it's not the company that necessarily would do it, but it would be, for example, the local government. That's usually a government decision, but could be executed by the government if, for example, this project is going forward. So I think it would depend. But as you mentioned, this whole idea of eminent domain, that's what's rallied, for example, Tea Party activists to this cause, particularly in Texas. There's where you've seen a kind of unusual alliance where there are people who are saying, look, it's our right to control our land, and we don't want anyone saying that we have to give up our rights to it.
Well, but the pipeline supporters are also saying if you don't take this oil, someone else will. China is positioning itself to make deals with companies and take the sands oil. What's the sense of how much that's weighing in on this debate?
That certainly is a factor. It's something the State Department looked at, and the Department of Energy that looked at an analysis essentially concluded that at some point this oil could be extracted and sold overseas to Asia. There's no question that it would be a more expensive process and that, in fact, transporting that oil from Alberta through Canada to basically the West Coast where it would be shipped would encounter its own opposition because there's certainly First Nation tribes, that's the term that they use for American Indians, they're resisting it too. And so they could encounter some obstacles with going for that alternative route. There's no question that doing the pipeline from Canada to the United States would be the most cost-efficient and effective way of transporting that oil.
So just briefly, Juliet Alperin, where does this leave President Obama? Some of his biggest supporters are now some of the biggest protesters.
It really leaves him in an awkward position. He's going to make a decision that at the end of the day will make some people who support him unhappy, whether you're talking about the labor unions that have agreements with TransCanada and are looking for those construction jobs, or if you're talking about environmentalists who've become very passionate about this issue and have really ramped up the intensity just in the last few months. This was really considered pretty much a done deal. It was headed for approval. This was something that the State Department would likely issue a decision which wouldn't even have Obama's name on it. And I think it's very interesting that you're seeing him take ownership of this issue to some extent. At the end of the day, he has to make the call and live with those consequences.
Juliet Alperin, environmental reporter for The Washington Post, also, by the way, author of Demon Fish, Travels Through the Hidden World of Sharks, but commenting on the debate, the huge debate over the proposed pipeline from Canada to Texas. Juliet, thanks so much.
Thank you.